considery. The main outdoors is waiting for all of us to see. The mountains, lakes, and rivers, the wildlife, and the woods are just outside your doorway. So get outside and find it in the main outdoors. Fishing and hunting, winter, spring, summer, and fall. If it happens in the main outdoors, they talk about it all. Just tune in your radio to 103.9. Jim and Paul and Bob and Matt are your outdoors hotline. Each Sunday night at 7 on WVOM. To find out what is happening, just listen to the radio to the main outdoors.
Welcome to the main outdoors.
And good evening. This is Bob Lehman, your host tonight. And welcome to the main outdoors show. And Paul, the regular host, will be back somewhere along about probably next month. And tonight we have an update for the fur trapping scene by my good friend Bobby Martin. And later in the program, we'll have our Down East friend, Dwayne Shaw, who'll talk about the 40th celebration of working to restore Atlantic salmon to our Down East rivers. And this should be very enlightening, so please stay tuned for this. Norm Plord, our technician, who we could not do without, and I will welcome some new listeners from New Hampshire and Massachusetts, along with some local who will be tuning in. We met quite a few yesterday at the Eldridge Brothers big extravaganza. They call it an expo for fly tires and fishermen and lodges and so forth, and Norm will be filling us in on that too, as we are streaming live now worldwide. Good evening, Norman.
Good evening, Bob, and how you doing?
I'm doing just great. We're being brought to you over Blueberry Broadcasting Company, 103.9 FM, Bingo, 101.3 FM, Augusta, 95.1 FM, Rockland. And we're also have a podcast, and as I just said, we are streaming live. And how would anybody tune in to streaming live, Norman?
Well, basically, all you need to do is go to the WVOMFM.com website. And once you get on that site, you'll see a drop-down menu. Open that up, and you'll see podcast. Click on podcast, and there'll be a few arrows to your right. Click on the bottom arrow, and that'll give you another drop-down menu, which Main Outdoors is right there. Click on that and you can stream live or listen to any show that has been downloaded there.
Simple enough, isn't it?
Really is.
We have quite a few now that are listening, streaming live, and they've been calling in. And when we give you the phone number to call, it's 1-800-966-1039. If you pick us up streaming, we'd like to hear from you. We really would. 1-800-966-1039. First on the scene, of course, is the Outdoor Digest, brought to you by the Northwood Sporting Journal. And number one, open water fishing opens Wednesday, April 1st. And that's April 1st. This coming Wednesday. You going fishing, Norman?
No, not this April 1st. No.
Well, I used to go out when I was a young fella. I couldn't wait for April 1st.
Yeah.
I fished the culverts, you know how it is. I very seldom ever caught one, but I had to be out there, you know. But there's not too much open, really, right now. It's from Bangor North, there's a lot of ice, and there's some open water here and there, but
sure,
there's an awful lot of ice everywhere, and there's an awful lot of snow and snowbanks still in the woods to climb over if you're heading for a brook.
Correct.
And, of course, the water temperature is going to be ice cold, so the fish aren't really waking up to hatches or anything just yet, so it's real early.
Sure.
So, anyway, you can get down to Grand Lake Stream on April 1st, and you probably will catch a salmon in the damn pool.
There's a good chance of that, sure.
A very good chance of that.
I won't do it, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, you never know what the weather's going to be on April 1st. I've been there with wonderful weather and with very poor weather.
Yeah.
And so the water level is usually pretty good at this time of year. I haven't checked to see what it is over the dam right now, but generally it's pretty low.
Yeah, I haven't checked it either, so I wouldn't know.
It's pretty low this time of year, so I think you could probably get out into the water on the dam pool anyway, maybe the hatchery pool. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of fish, though, hanging around in the dam pool all winter, so they call them slinks because they're quite scrawny.
I would think so.
Yeah, they are. They're not much good to eat either.
They're
right
sort of the survivors.
They're the survivors. That's what they are. But they are a tug on the line.
Yeah.
And that means a lot to a lot of people. So.
No, we were down at the Eldridge Brothers yesterday.
We were.
Yeah, and I was surprised the number of people that wasn't familiar with this program.
True.
Apparently, the only way they can hear it is going to be if they go online. So we gave out the address, and hopefully, and I got a number of names here I want to put out there. I told them we'd
go ahead.
We'd mention them. They're really a lot of neat people. And if you're ever down in the Agunquit area,
yep.
They're just below, they're on the south side of Agunquit. Mm-hmm. You know, pretty handy to the town.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a Fred Pierce and a Mark Follin and a Dan Fazzino and there was Adam Bertrand. We had great discussions with them, and you know, they might be listening to us tonight. So I told them we'd give a shout out to them.
Also, you know, Paul Fuller was there. He writes for the Outdoor column.
Yes, he does.
The Outdoor magazine, Northwood Sporting Journal. He was there with his lovely wife. I didn't get her name, but I met her there. She was nice. And Rick Jordan and his wife, Manny, were there.
Mm-hmm.
They're retired Maine biologist, he was, and Manny was a big helper there. So we talked to them for quite a while. Awful glad to see them down there. And Paul has, Paul Fuller said, say hello to V. Paul. And I told him I would for sure. So
that was a great time. I mean, it was really good.
Now, one of the boys that I talked to down there, I was thrilled to talk to this guy. This guy had a little table down there, and it was Leslie. Leslie Hilliard, and he and his father wrote the book Kerry Stevens. You know, Gray Ghost Flies.
Mm-hmm.
Kerry Stevens. It's a beautiful book. I have one. It originally sells for about $40, I guess, something like that.
Oh, yeah.
But it's magnificent. And so his father passed away a little bit ago, but he was down there tying flies and stuff. And what a nice young fellow he is. And we've got to get him on the show. I told him, would you like to come in sometime and be a guest? And he said, I'd love to. So
yeah, for all the people who are interested in Fly Rod Crosby, I mean, he's a wealth of information.
Yeah.
In fact, didn't he buy the fly shop?
I don't know. Maybe so. I wouldn't be surprised.
Somebody mentioned that they thought that he was the one who had bought the fly shop. Flywood Crosby had something to do with. But.
Yeah, I'll say hello to Scott Byron. He was tying flies down there. And let's see who else I want to say to. Chris Netto. He's the guy that wants the Montreal fly.
Oh, okay.
Chris Netto. I'm going to tie him a couple of those. So I sold my last one I had there, so. So we had a great time down there. And also, you know, down at the Cabin Fever Reliever, we met a lot of people down there. My goodness gracious, that was about 2 or 3 weeks ago. And you weren't near Norman, but Alice was there with me. And we listened to David Bivens from Starks and Billy Baker, Bangor's Famahose family. Let's see who else I had. So I wrote down a couple of them that I told him I'd tell him the name on the radio, and it's Andy Scribner. He's the big shad man. He caught a big shad at one time in the Penobscot, apparently. It's a massive fish, I guess. No, Kennebec River. That's where he caught it. A big shad, yeah. And Tori Hayden from Herman, and Bill Emmons from Gray. And George Lane from Ellsworth. And my goodness, I could go on, you know, but there are so many of them that I talked to and told them I'd mention their name on the air, like Dana Marble, Rihanna and Mark, Bobby's friends, my son. And nice to talk to them. They were a nice young couple. They just bought a camp down to Cat Ants Lake. So I gave them a suggested a fly they take down there called the Cast Ant Special, and it really works well down there, so they were happy with that. Jim Leach, a new young tire, by the way, and Melanie Collins. These are all new listeners.
That's pretty good.
New listeners, yeah. And who is this? Dinky Carey Jenkins and Alan Buchthold from Bar Harbor. Brian Drop from Brian from, well, I don't know. Sometimes I can't even read my own writing. And I had some other things I wanted to mention, too, about the Down East Trout Unlimited Group, which is Robert Packey, I believe, is the president there. And he had a couple of his buddies at the show, and they were Todd Sands, was for one, and another boy, I didn't get his name, I'm so sorry. But they were very interesting to talk to. They got a great club going down east in the Trout Unlimited Group. So anyway, we got those all in, and we had a wonderful time down to where we had all free food for breakfast and dinner at Cape Natick, Eldridge Brothers Fly Shop, and I brought down 18 books, and I never thought I'd sell 18 books, and it was sold in the first hour. I've never seen a crowd like that. There were two or three at a time, backing up, trying to come to our table and trying to say hello and to you and Norm, me and Norm, and Norm did more talking, I think, than I did, because they wanted to know how to pick up that streaming live, and he told them exactly and wrote it all out for them. So as you mentioned once before, you said, Norm, that might be a good idea for Paul to make out a card or a placard of some kind. We go to these places and they could, with instructions, how to pick up streaming live.
Yeah, I think we'd be surprised how many more people would listen.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, there was an awful lot of them down there, I'll tell you. I bet you could have 18, 20 instructions you gave to different people.
Probably, yeah.
Some of them may be listening tonight. If they are, call us in, 1-800-966-1039. 1-800-966-1039. Even if you're local, you have to dial the whole number. So
while you're giving that number, if we can tell Bobby Martin, if you can use that 800 number and give us a call, because we misplaced your number, so
misplaced your number, Bobby, so please call in if you would, and we'll put you right online here. We'll be talking to you a few minutes once we get this Outdoor Digest completely out of the way. And so we've been busy, I'll tell you. We're running around selling books, and I also took orders, because I sold out of books. I took orders for, I don't know, 15, 20 more. So I think I actually got rid of 35, 40 books, something like that. And it was the best sale I ever had. What a wonderful bunch of guys down there, the Eldridge Brothers in Cape Natick. Boy, you really should visit that. They got a wonderful shop. My goodness, it's a massive shop. More stuff. I wanted to buy some things, but I couldn't get to it, you know.
Yeah.
They had a whole wall full, all the way down the store, all this wall full of fly tying stuff, and I just couldn't. There were so many people looking, I just couldn't. I'd rather go in there when it's not quite as busy and be able to look things over. So, but I didn't this time. So maybe it's a good time now to go to the question of the week. And if you give us the right answer, we'll give you one of my hand-tied streamer flies. And the question of the week will be, May apple. Is May apple a plant or a tree? That's the question. May apple, plant or tree, will get you a streamer fly, hand-tied by me.
And just a reminder for Bobby Martin, 1-800-966-1039, if you give us a call. Appreciate it.
And welcome back to the Maine Outdoors Show. This is Bob Lehman, your host, filling in for B. Paul Reynolds, the regular host. The Minions take over when he's in Florida, and I'm one of them. But I have a great time doing it, and I'm sure Norman loves to do it too with these Minions, you might say. Who's on next week? I think Jim Thorne's on next week. And I'm back on again, you know, in a couple of weeks with
Greg
Bursch. It's his show, but he asked me to be on it so we could talk fishing. We get along pretty good telling about, you know, talking about the places we fish and where we go and what we canoe and all this stuff.
Sure.
The best time of year for this and for trout and salmon and so forth. We talk a little bit about Grand Lake Stream and all that. So that should be an interesting show, too. We have a question out there floating around. We had two people waiting to give me an answer. And are you there, caller?
Yes, I am.
Ask your name, please. Where are you calling from?
My name is Justine Kernan. I'm calling from Heartland.
From Hoyman. All righty, Herman.
Heartland.
Heartland. Oh, okay, Heartland. Yeah. Do you have an answer to a question?
I do.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is a plant.
You're correct. Absolutely correct. Right on the spot. You're right. Have you ever seen one?
Absolutely. A million of them.
Are you,
I'm a big hiker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you would hike in the spring early when that's when they shed that. It looks like a little small apple.
Yeah, I hiked the Appalachian Trail. Yeah,
a little tail
on it.
Yeah, they always end up in brooks, seems though, floating around the shore of brooks, those little apples.
I've seen them grow right up from the start.
Yeah. And you've been ice fishing this year?
No, didn't ice fish this year. No, I am waiting for some brook trout fishing, though.
Oh, I guess we all are, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you fly fish?
I took it up years ago, and I don't have the shoulders for it right now.
No. You must be a wormer.
I am.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a true bass fisherman myself, but, you know, I make up the season when I'm not bass fishing.
Yeah. Oh, you like bass fishing, huh? Yeah.
Well, yes, I do.
I just say the best way to catch fish is whatever works.
That's right. Whatever works, Norman. Thank you. That's right.
Yeah. So whatever, well,
whatever's
it's a worm
on the end of your line.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, over in Hatland there's some good fish in that area.
Yeah, bass fishing here on Great Moose. Yeah.
Great Moose, sure. Absolutely.
Yep.
Yep. You have a camp there?
No, I live here.
Oh, you live here. Oh, you're pretty handy,
right
though.
Not on the lake, but yep. Fairly close.
Well, there you are. Within walking distance, yep. Probably get out there and catch some bass.
Oh, yeah. I have 40 acres. Almost runs right down to the lake.
Oh, well, that's great. Why don't you leave your address to Norman, and we'll be sure and get one of those flies right out to you first of the week.
Oh, yeah. I'll test the shoulders out on it, okay?
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling in.
You're welcome. Thank you. We enjoy your program every week.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome. Yep.
Talking about, we left out on the Outdoor Digest, we left out snowmobiling. You know, the snowmobiling is, of course, I'd say from Settled Maine South is gonzo. And I think you'd probably have to get somewhere near Millinocket and north before you could run into much snowmobiling right now. But I'm sure there's plenty of snow up in that country. Golly, I can remember driving around up in the valley up there. My goodness, the snow would be piled up there and halfway up. Well, yes, two-thirds of the way up some of those telephone poles up in the valley from Van Buren, Manawaska, Fort Kent. And of course, the blowers up there, the wide open fields, and the blowers would blow that snow right up into a high, high bank, and it would be all the way up to the tops of the telephone poles in it. And it was something to see, I'll tell you right now. It was amazing, really. I went in, one morning, I went into a little variety shop in Van Buren. I'll never forget it. McCormick was the name, McCormick Variety. And there were a couple of characters in there, two brothers. You can imagine McCormick, you know, right? They had their little caps on and so forth. And they were the best guys to talk to, and they always had a joke or two for me. Well, one morning I went in there, it was about 35 below zero that morning. I'd driven over from Presque Isle, and they said, how cold was it? I said, well, it was 35, 40 below this morning up to Loring. It was so cold that farm there, just down the road you came by, he says, a fellow pulled his cows in this morning, and the shadows were still froze the side of the barn. And if that's not funny enough, then the drugstore up on Main Street in Van Buren, there's a fire hydrant out front, and the dog lifted his leg up to right there, and he couldn't get his leg back down again. Now, that's cold. That's mighty cold. I don't think you get much colder than that. But anyway, as far as snow goes up in that country, you can forget about trout fishing up there until, I would say, at least until mid-June. June, anyway, after Memorial Day, and I know we always waited when we did a lot of fishing in Presque Isle River, Presque Isle Stream, River Deschutes, and a lot of those places like that. We'd go after work. We'd do a lot of trout fishing up there. It was always late, Rustic River, but it was so late up there, and the water's cold, a lot of ice, a lot of snow to put up with. Okay, Norman, what?
We're not going to have a Bobby. He hasn't called.
No. I guess fur bearer has shuffled out on us or something here. Too bad I had his number, and I've lost it somewhere. And Bobby Martin, if you're listening, and you're probably not, call us at 1-800-966-1039 because I lost your phone number. Or somebody call him and tell him to call in.
That's right.
Bobby Martin, I think he lives out in Orrington, I believe. He's a great fur trapper, and I've known him for years. And he's a very good friend of my son's, and another friend is Bob Costas, a good buddy. And Bobby goes fur trapping every year now for many, many moons, and he does real well. I saw him at the grocery store here a couple of weeks ago, and I said, "Would you like to be on the show? I'd love to." And he says, "Well, give me this number." He says, "Take this number to call me." So I got it, and I put it in my pocket, and I thought I put it in my folder, but I don't know. It got away from me somewhere, so maybe call Bobby Matten, call in. And so anyway, he's a great trapper. He told me that last year he got 70 beaver, just all alone. Can you imagine that, Norman? Imagine that.
Yeah, I know a guy up in north of Mattagammon, actually.
Yeah.
And he's an avid trapper, and he traps a lot of nuisance beavers for the various forest companies.
Yeah.
And he's been known to trap 200 plus beavers.
Oh my God. Alone?
Alone.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And today, his name is Don Dudley.
Yeah.
Really interesting guy. I've enjoyed his friendship. And he's right around 80 years old now, and he's still active out in the outdoors. He still guides for the moose hunt.
Does he still trap?
I'm pretty sure he is. Yeah. I haven't asked him within the last year or so, but I would be surprised if he's not yet.
Yeah. You get to an age, you know, where you just can't do it anymore.
He stays incredibly,
so much work.
He stays incredibly active. I'm impressed with him.
Yeah. You should go in pairs, really, because it's dangerous to go alone. You know, you can break through the ice, you know, and
there's always that possibility.
You could hurt yourself. And
yeah.
I know I went through the ice a couple of times, and I was lucky I had a buddy with me. It wasn't very icy conditions anyway, and the water was moving under the ice, so that's kind of tricky. But there was enough to walk on. It was close to 2 inches. But I got over in the bushes next to the shore, and because the wind had whipped around those bushes a little bit, and it didn't freeze there. And I had snowshoes on, and I went right down to my hip in those bushes, and I couldn't reach down. I couldn't get through the bushes to take off my snowshoes, and I was stuck right there. I mean, I didn't think I was going to get out of there, but my buddy came over and gave me a long log to pull on, and he got me out of there. But that's one instance. That's only one of many. So it's a tough chore to get into if you like to trap alone, and it's not recommended. But anyway, this past year, Bobby didn't get as many, and you'd think he'd get a lot because there's an awful lot of beaver out there and not many trappers, but he got 40 this year, he told me. And that's enough to take care of, I'll tell you, because once you get your beaver, you've got to skin it out, and then you have to stretch it, and then you have to scrape all the fat off the hide. Then you have to wait till it dries and then take it off there and then do another one. And it takes long time. And once in a while, right now they use those big corner bear traps for those. And they put them in runs, shut a runner off like a ladder set now. And when I was trapping, the corner bears just came out. They were a big square, and they reverse themselves, and so that you catch the animal right there, and it's quick. And you put them in a run, so you can pretty well clean out a nuisance beaver place if you can find the run and put one of those in, and you shut them off with them, make a ladder that they have to go through one little pocket of area, and put the corner bear trap right over it. Why, it's the only place they can go, and they have to go in there to get their food. And so is our man called in yet?
No, he hasn't. And,
He probably won't now.
Well, probably. No, Jim called and he thought he has a number, but when I called it, the line's been discontinued.
Yeah. Well, that's too bad. I wanted to talk to him, but that's all right. Yeah, it's a dying breed today, this trapping business, I'll tell you, because there's so many synthetics nowadays. Of course, you have to buy a license, too, and all the work that goes with it, you know. And fur prices have gone way down.
I think that's the big one right there. I mean, I have a guy that I used to work with, and he was an avid trapper, and he was still trapping because he enjoyed doing it, but he said if he broke even, he was happy.
Yeah.
When he considered all of his expense running up and down the road. And
sure. Heavens. Yeah, that's right. Running around and snowshoeing around and snowmobiling around. And it's not an easy sport, but a lot of people still like to do it because it gets them out in the wintertime, you know. And you pick up otter, too. Good otter. Now, a good otter is worth $35, $40, or maybe more. Whereas, so, anyway, I guess we're down to pretty close to
we can do the
a break
hour.
Right here, yeah, aren't we?
We can do it right now, as a matter of fact.
Okay. Well, why don't you call Mr. Dwayne Shaw during the break, and we'll be back right after these messages with Maine Outdoors. And we're back with more of the Maine Outdoors Show. This is Bob Lehman, your host tonight. B. Paul is accompanying himself in the warm Florida sun. It'll probably be back. Well, April's coming on pretty strong here, so probably right around the corner. He can't wait much longer to go fishing if I know Paul. So he'll probably be back sometime in late April anyway, and so he'll be back on the air with us. And that golden voice of B. Paul Reynolds, my goodness, he's been on the radio for off and on for years and years and years. I used to listen to him way back when I traveled up north for the cigarette company, and that was that had to be 60, 70 years ago. That gives you an idea how old I am. And I'm still upright, so I tell them I'm lucky to be upright.
Hello, Bob. This is Dwayne.
Oh, good evening, Dwayne. Glad you called in. We've been trying to get a hold of you for several reasons here, because we had another guest that didn't show up. So.
Oh, no.
He was supposed to. He'd probably call in now that we've got you.
All right.
I want to tell all the listeners, if we got any questions for Dwayne during this conversation, that you can call us at 1-800-966-1039. And you're having a celebration, Wayne, down there of 40 years of restoring Atlantic salmon to the in the Down East Federation area.
That's right. And this is, we're going into our 41st year, but we had a couple of years of COVID where we didn't have our annual smelt fry that we put on. And so we're coming back out of COVID, and we're going to hold our smelt fry on April 29th.
April 29th.
Fall.
You told me on the air, on the radio, on the telephone here not too long ago, the smelts were running.
They've already been running.
No.
And we've caught all we need to feed 500-600 people. In a matter of four
That's
hours.
That's so. The saltwater smelts, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Those are the good ones, man. They're really good. How do you catch them? Netting them?
We use a gill net, and we've got the commercial
license. Oh, I see. Yeah. Well,
there's still plenty of smelts in that area, and the reason that we have so many there is because of a dam removal that we'd done on the Pleasant River, and I guess it was 97. The Pleasant River dam that had been built about 10 years before that wasn't working, and it got abandoned, and the smelt fishermen were seeing all kinds of dead smelt eggs.
They
were spawning below the dam, but the water was all going in the other direction.
Oh, I see, yeah.
We took that part of the dam out, and now all those eggs incubate.
And we've got
good smelt population.
I thought it was awfully early for smelts to run, but this is in the Machias River you got these smelts?
No, this is on the Pleasant River.
It was on the Pleasant, right, okay then.
Yeah.
But they must be running in some of those other Down East rivers, it would seem.
They are.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we watched the mergansers, and when you see the birds there, that's what they're feeding on. And usually, right about mid March, the big smelts will come in first.
Oh, the 10, 12 inch ones? Yeah.
Some of them are up in that size.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I caught one trolling one time.
Right.
Down the Flanders Pond years ago. There's a straight run into the ocean on the outlet, and they get these big early smelts, and 12 inches long. Heavens, they look like barracudas with the teeth, you know.
They do.
Don't they?
They do. In fact, we, right there next to Flanders, where that comes out into the bay, that's called Smelt Cove.
Yes.
And Smelt Brook. And, and that also had a dam put across it for watering cattle.
It did, and there's about 6-foot high drop there, if I recall.
Well, not anymore. We took it out.
Well, you're a good man. Good for you.
Smelts are up there spawning now, and the tomcod.
Unbelievable.
As well.
Yeah.
And the brook trout.
So Tommy cod.
Yeah.
Tommy cod. No coolant. They're generally under the ice, aren't they? In February, March or something.
Right.
Yeah.
They spawn in December and January, typically. But they couldn't get where they needed to go because that dam was below the head tide, really.
Yeah. Have you ever tried eating one of those?
Oh, yeah.
Tommy cod?
Yeah.
Have you really? I've never even seen one. But I know years ago, my dad used to talk about going over in the Penobscot River. He lived in Bangor for a young fella. And they'd go over there and they'd net them under the ice. And they'd fill up tubs with them things and take them over the square and sell them. By the tub full. And it was quite a delicacy at the time. Yeah.
Right. People made chowder, a lot of chowder out of them. And
yes, huh?
What I do is I bake them and because they're kind of, flesh is kind of wet. And so it's like a pollock. It's a lot
that
like
so?
A pollock.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, for God's sake. No, I would. I forget people forget about some of the things that run up these rivers, you know what? Sea lampreys run up in there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
A lot of these smelts that we catch have lamprey bites on them.
No, kid, I wouldn't be a bit surprised. Yeah. I've caught salmon down there years ago that had welts on them from sea lampreys. And I was standing in the river one time when a sea lamprey swam up by. You know, in the shallow water there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I couldn't believe it. That mouth, you know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, the eagles love them. I bet they do.
Of course they would, sure.
Yeah.
Well, this celebration you're coming is on, they're coming up in this March 29th?
April
29th. April 29th. And that's in East Machias?
No, in Columbia Falls.
Columbia Falls.
Pool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right there on the main street? You have a building there?
It's in the old schoolhouse up the hill a little bit from the river.
I see.
It's right on the main drag. Oh,
okay.
Falls.
Yeah. Well, before they put that crossbar there up above on the main road right around, you never think of Columbia Falls much more. They just go right by and never see it. A nice little town. Years ago, there was a market there. It was Wakefield's Market.
Exactly. Harold Wakefield.
Harold, did you know Harold?
I did, yeah.
Yeah, he's a good friend of mine for years, and his buddy, Roger, was a very close fisherman and a friend of mine for many, many, many years. We fished Grand Lake Stream, and we trapped together down east, and it was just a pleasurable man to be with.
There was a book written about the Pleasant River. You've probably read it.
Oh, yeah. Dale Cohen? Dale Coleman. Cohen.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
Coleman.
I do have one, matter of fact.
Yep. It's a good book if anybody for something like that. And the Wakefields are in that.
Yes, they are. I know. He talked about going fishing in the evening up to the upper Pleasant River, fishing the Flat Rock Pool and Adage Bridge and some of those places in the evening.
Exactly.
And he'd tie flies in his little Union Station building. Wasn't much bigger than an outhouse. And they had Morse code in those days that he had learned in the service. And that's when I met him. That was a few moons ago. And and he would tie flies during the day when he was waiting for his, instructions to come in, and he made up these freight bills for the different cars and so forth. And he'd tie flies, and in the evening I'd meet him, and up the river we would go. And I remember one night, and I read this in Dale Cowan's book too. He would go up river, and he would let out this great yelp, loud yelp, yahoo. And, and I'd look at him like, what the heck are you doing, man? He says, I just feel so great to get out into the woods. He says, I just have to let it all out. And every time he did that, those clouds of birds would leave the trees, and everything. I can hear, see it now, what a wonderful man he was, and great family and everything. So he's gone now. Yeah. He and his wife both passed away. And they lived in Machias after they moved from Columbia Falls. And, well, let's get back to your salmon. Now, Yeah. you've been under this business now. How'd you get this federation going, Wayne?
Well, it was the five salmon clubs or fish and game clubs down east in Washington County started this in 1982.
Mm-hmm.
And they realized, so that was the Denny's River Sportsman's Club, the Two Rivers Salmon Club, which was the Machias East Machias, the Pleasant River Fish and Game Conservation Association, which still exists,
mm-hmm.
And then the Narragansett Salmon Association. So those groups got together and had decided, you know, we've got to do more for the salmon, and we can't wait around for somebody else to do it for us, so we'll form a federation. And
yep.
So that's what they did, and I was a college student at UMaine Machias at the time studying mm-hmm. fisheries, so mm-hmm. I was right into all of that and jumped right in with them. And but it was really the old timers in the area who got it going, and,
mm-hmm.
and then they wanted to do something, and they wanted a hatchery, so we ended up building a hatchery in Columbia Falls in
mm-hmm.
the former power plant there.
Yes.
So that power plant got built during Carter's period, and mm-hmm. you know, as a president in office, energy crisis just like today we're hearing about. Well, they built a dam, and it didn't work. It was a mess. It was really bad for all the sea-run fish, so they and it didn't generate much power, so they ended up going bankrupt. And after that, the state acquired the property, took the dam out, and we then took a lease on the property and turned the old powerhouse into a hatchery.
Wow.
So, and it's working. Last year, we had somewhere over 20-something reds on the river, so salmon nests.
Oh, yeah, documented. Sure. Absolutely.
And, of course, we don't find all of them, so there's...
Oh, no.
There's more than that.
Oh, sure. Got to be.
But it's still salmon, and we think we've had a part in helping to, you know, bring them back, stabilize them, so...
Yeah.
And we've got another hatchery in the old Bangor Hydro Powerhouse.
Yeah, over in Machias, East Machias, right?
Yeah.
No, don't, let me tell you a little story about that just a second here.
Yeah.
When East Machias Hydro Building was operating there, Roger and I went over the East Machias, and it was before the dam went out mysteriously one night, got blown up. But anyway. Roger was down on the shore for casting for Atlantics, and I'm in my working clothes up in the high bank there, you know, back of the building. Yeah. And Roger hooked a fish. And he got him all the way to shore, and he couldn't get him, and he no net and everything. And he says, "Listen, I'm flipping him on the bank. Grab him, will you?" So he whipped him up onto the bank, and he hit the bank and started sliding down. And I landed on that fish with all fours in my tie and working clothes and well felt hat and everything. I'll tell you, but I held that thing right against the right against the mud and the grass. Until he got a hold of it. He came up and got a hold of it, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. But I got it. It was a mess, but it was something else. But I do remember the building, and you took that over.
Oh, yeah. They gave it to us, and it was quite a mess at that point. It was full of pigeons and the windows.
Oh, really? Yes.
Uh-huh. And they
gave it to you. Wasn't that nice?
It was.
Yeah.
We offered them a dollar for it, and about a year and a half later, they said, you can keep your dollar. We're going to give it to you.
Oh, there you are. Now, do you strip your own salmon? Do you net them and strip them, or do you get them from the federal hatchery?
The U.S. Fish Hatchery at Craig Brook.
Okay.
Is where all the broodstock are held there.
Yeah.
And they strip them. We get the eggs, and then we raise them. And we do two different methods. One that this Englishman, as you might have heard me talk about, Peter Gray,
yes,
Scotsman, he had developed this method right there on the Scottish border on the Tyne River.
Mm.
And we've adopted that method, and it works really well. So we're raising par, and we release them late in the fall
mm-hmm.
before freeze up. And we're doing that on the East Machias and on the Narragansett.
Yeah.
And the return rates, the survival rates are really good. So on the Pleasant, we'd like to be doing that. We're just releasing Fry. And in the smaller river like the Pleasant, the Fry will do okay in the the smaller sections, like way up river or off in the tributaries.
Yeah. Well, now, how long does it take an egg to hatch? A couple of months?
They lay the eggs in November, December time frame.
Yeah.
And then in April, they'll hatch. And
April?
In May, they'll swim up out of the gravel.
Yeah, right.
In May.
Yeah.
So they hatch, but they still have a yolk attached to them. They're under the gravel.
Finglings.
They call them yolk fry.
Oh, yeah, right, sure.
Sack fry or alvin.
Then
we say they button up, they absorb that yolk, and then that's when they swim up out of the gravel, just about the time the black flies are coming out. When the river comes alive, they come up and, you know, they've got food. So, and we've been mimicking that whole thing in the hatchery. So this is what's different about the Peter Gray method is we have these artificial salmon nests that has water coming up through the bottom, and it's this substrate, big plastic things in there, so that the fish think that they're down in the gravel, and they come swimming out on their own and go right into the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And then we know it's time to feed them. So
I say sure.
Yeah, and anybody can come and take a look. We've got these things set up in East Machias and over in Columbia Falls.
Wow, that's wonderful. Regular museum type place.
It is. We've got displays and we've got like classroom. We bring a lot of kids through, and we have an open door policy, so anybody come in off the road and wants to ask questions.
So how many months before they get to like 4 to 5, 6 inches?
That would be October.
October.
So they're more between 2.5 to 4.
Yeah.
1.5 inches at the most by October, and that's when we release them.
And then the next year, they'd be called smolt, right?
No, they'd be one more year in the river.
One more year in the river, they'd be a smolt. You don't raise them that big, do you?
No.
No,
you don't. But
you stock them at size 4 to 6 inches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's quite a variation in size, and we want that. We're not trying to domesticate these fish. We want them all as wild as possible, so they're all different sizes.
And, oh, sure. Bound to. Yeah. Do you feed them at that? What would you feed the fish like?
We do.
Yeah?
We'll feed them starting just after they swim out of those nests that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very fine fish food, and then we just keep working up in size. And it's the same thing that all these facilities use all over the world now, and it's very, very different than it was 50 years ago when Peter Gray was running the hatchery on the Tyne River in England. He was squeezing calf livers through colander.
So imagine that
they made their own feed.
Well, that's interesting. Yeah, and you stock these fish. Didn't you have a record stocking this year? Did I read about that in your Interveil Bulletin?
We've been increasing the numbers over time, so now we've got three different runs of fish that we're stocking: Narragansett, Pleasant, and East Machias. So we expanded. It was working well, and we had the space, so we expanded that powerhouse in East Machias. We get another dozen tanks.
Wow.
Extension.
So
we can keep them separate. So one room has the East Machias, the other one has the Narragansett for biosecurity, all of that. So we don't have to
do anything for the Denny's?
Not yet, but it's on our list.
Yeah.
Denny's in
Tunk River is another one, I guess, gets a few fish, but I don't know how it would work out.
It used to. We would love to be have the capacity to do all the Downey's rivers, including the Union.
That's right. That's
very high quality habitat up upriver, but you've got this dam at the
Oh, I know. That would be a problem. Yeah.
So that'll get fixed eventually because it's up for relicensing, and we've been chasing them on that. You know, that dam was built over 100 years ago with no fish passage in it.
Yeah, well, that's something, isn't it? Listen, before we've got a little time, I wanted to ask you about you've been spreading clamshells in, was it Richardson Stream and maybe some other brooks to try to get some lime into the brooks for more lime deposits to help the growth of brook trout?
Brook trout and salmon.
Salmon.
As it turns out, it helps everything in the stream because the streams have been stripped of their alkalinity, you know, the base.
Sure.
Base cations, as they say. So when acid rain became such an issue for so many years, that just stripped the soils. And so what we've been doing is trying to do what the Norwegians and other folks have been doing, including actually in Nova Scotia. They've got a very successful project in adjusting the pH back to normal.
I see.
And
sure.
We're doing it on a shoestring budget, so we're doing it with clamshells.
Yes. That's funny, really.
But it works.
Yeah, it works. That's the main thing,
For about 10 years at a small scale and documenting everything.
Yeah.
Everything from algae on the rocks to fish and diversity and size and health. And the main DEP is working very closely with us.
Well, that's great.
In documenting that. So we take what was, you know, a waste product, clamshells, and they were having to pay to get rid of them. So we're trucking them out of Albert Carver's shop down on Beals Island.
There you go. Great. Another question I had for you before we run out of time is have a lot of volunteers. I know you have a lot of school children who help you out in high school and maybe even grammar school, as I've read in your interview. How could one get one of those bulletins?
Well, they can get onto our website and become a member, you know, for a small donation, very small, or you can just get in touch with us. Our phone number is 207-483-4336 in Columbia Falls.
Mm-hmm.
That's our main office, and you can just ask to be put on the mailing list.
Yeah.
And if people can support us, we want support in any way that we can get it. So, and that's what's happened over those 40 years.
Wow, that's wonderful.
Thousands of people have supported us.
Oh, I bet you. And getting back to the kids, you'd say you get a lot of kids to help you out.
Oh, yeah.
What do they do? On to help clean out some of the streams or help with the stocking?
Put clamshells in, stocking. They're testing water quality. Some of them do films and artwork, just, you know, the types of things that they're interested in. We've got trails. We own a little over 4,000 acres. We're also a land trust, so we created a land trust just to protect land along the rivers for public
access. Sure, wonderful. Yeah.
Keep shade on the stream. So we've got foot trails and campsites. We own three camps that people can rent very inexpensively.
Wow, wonderful.
Yeah.
So
we've done a lot.
You've been a busy boy, haven't you, for the last 40 years? Kept busy. look at how many millions of salmon have you restored? I mean, it's impossible to know, isn't it?
We've put a lot of fish out, and some of, you know, they're returning, and that's the whole goal someday.
Didn't you set a record this year that I read in the bulletin? It's a record on was it stocking?
I'm trying to remember now. We had around 500,000 fish, I guess.
500,000. Wow.
We put out.
Yeah, that is a record. I'd call that a record, all right. Yeah.
Yeah, so we felt pretty good about it. And we've got a lot of veterans involved now. That's the other
thing. Wonderful.
We've just done this project, Healing Waters is the name of the
group.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Connected with them, so people that are veterans who want to get out or learn how to fly, tie, or fish and so on.
Yeah.
So we've been out, and part of what we're hoping to do over time is to remove some of the bass and that are non-native in some of these places.
You think there'd ever be a day of fishing for Atlantic salmon again?
I have to believe so. And
Yes, it is.
I went over to the Tyne River in England, so I got to go over there and see their hatchery. And the people there, I was talking with a lot of people that were up in the 80s. And,
we've got to go.
Many younger people.
Our time is up, Wayne. Thank you so much.
Okay.
It's been a wonderful talking to you. We'll talk to you again, and we appreciate everything you're doing down there so much. Thank you very much. Have a nice night. Yep. Thank you. And next week, I guess Jim Thorne will be here, and in 2 weeks, I guess Greg Beer will be there, and I'll be his guest. And looking forward to that right now. And in the meantime, this is Maine Outdoors.